Chapter 47. Pitt was seated at his desk, clearing it of Numa business before flying to Elmore Egan's farm in New Jersey, when Admiral Sandecker abruptly walked past his secretary, Zary Pachinski, and entered his office. Pitt looked up in surprise. When the Admiral wanted to discuss Numa concerns, he nearly always insisted that his special projects director come up and meet in his office. It was obvious that Sandecker was deeply disturbed. His lips were taut beneath the red Van Dyke beard, and the authoritative blue eyes reflected uneasiness. Before Pitt could say a word, Sandecker snarled, "Zale threw us a red herring." "I'm sorry," replied Pitt, confused. The Pacific Trojan came up empty. Admiral Dover just reported in. There were no explosives on board. The ship was clean. The captain and crew were completely innocent of any plot to destroy the San Francisco waterfront. Either we were duped or Sally Morse was hallucinating. I trust Sally. I prefer to think we were duped. For what reason? Pitt looked thoughtful before answering. Zale has the wits of a jackal. The chances are he fed Sally a fake story, knowing she was about to defect and would alert the government. He used the old magician's method of waving one hand to distract the audience while using the other to perform the trick. He looked directly at Sandecker. I think he has another disaster up his sleeve. All right, said Sandecker. I'll go along with your thinking, but where does it lead? I'm counting on Hiram Yeager and Max to come up with the answer, Pitt said as he came to his feet, hurried around the desk, and headed out the door. Yeager was studying pages of overseas bank accounts, whose computerized records Max had penetrated while tracking down Cerberus's illegal payoffs and bribes to almost 1,000 members of the United States government. The total sum was nothing less than astronomical. "You're sure about these totals, Max?" asked Yeager, stunned by the amount. "They seem a trifle bizarre." Max's holographic figure shrugged. "I did the best I could. There are probably at least 50 or more I haven't tracked down as yet. Why do you ask? Did the amount surprise you?" "Maybe $21,200,000,000 doesn't seem like big money to you, but to a poverty-stricken computer tech, it's big bucks." "I'd hardly call you poverty-stricken." Pitt, with Sandecker two steps behind, rushed into Yeager's office like someone being chased by a water buffalo. "Hiram, the Admiral, and I need you and Max to launch a new probe as quickly as possible." Yeager looked up and saw the look of gravity in both Pitt and Sandecker's faces. "Max and I are at your disposal. What do you wish me to search for?" "Check all maritime ship arrivals at major U.S. ports beginning now and for the next 10 hours, with emphasis on super oil tankers." Yeager nodded and turned to Max. "You hear that?" Max smiled bewitchingly. "I'll be back to you in 60 seconds. "That fast?" asked Sandecker, always in awe of Max's potential. "She hasn't failed me yet," Yeager said with a knowing grin. As Max slowly vaporized and vanished, Yeager handed Sandecker the results of her latest probe. "There it is. Not quite complete yet, but with over 95% of the findings in, here are names, offshore bank accounts, and the amounts of deposit of those who were paid off by Curtis Merlin Zale and his Cerberus cronies." Sandecker studied the figures and looked up in astonishment. "No wonder Zale has so many high officials in his pocket. The sums he paid out would cover Numa's entire budget for 100 years. "Did the Coast Guard and Special Forces team stop the oil tanker from entering San Francisco Bay?" Yeager asked, uninformed of the events. "Zale made fools out of us," said Sandecker curtly. "The ship was transporting a full load of oil, all right, but it was empty of explosives. None could be found on board, and the ship continued on its voyage to its scheduled mooring terminal south of the Bay Area." Yeager looked at Pitt. "You think it was a decoy?" "I believe that was Zale's plan. What bothered me from the beginning was the extraordinary draft of a fully loaded tanker the size of the Pacific Trojan. The bottom of the bay surrounding the city of San Francisco is too shallow for a ship that size to cross. It would have grounded long before it could have come ashore. So you're considering the prospect that Zale is sending another tanker into a different port city, Yeager suggested. They went silent as Max's feminine form materialized on her little stage. I believe I have what you gentlemen were after. Did you check all supertankers entering our domestic ports? Asked Sandecker anxiously. There are several very large crude carriers arriving at several ports, but of the ultra-ultra-large crude carriers, there is one bound for Louisiana from Saudi Arabia, but her mooring terminal is 100 miles from a major city. Another is headed for the offshore pumping station off New Jersey, but she isn't due until tomorrow. And finally, a UULCC bound for Long Beach, California, is still 2 days out to sea. That's the lot. It looks like your friend, Mr. Zale, has lost any opportunity of sneaking in another tanker. So the whole exercise was a waste, murmured Sandecker. Zale never intended to devastate San Francisco or any other densely inhabited port city. Looks that way, said Pitt dejectedly. But if that's the case, why the subterfuge? What did he have to gain? Maybe he was just testing us? That's not his modus operandi. There are no mistakes? Yeager asked Max. I got inside the records of every port authority in the lower 48 states. Sandecker made as if to leave the office and shook his head wearily. I guess that ends that. Did you gentlemen ever consider a different type of vessel? Asked Max. Pitt looked at her with interest. What do you have in mind? I was thinking on my own. An LNG ship could do far more damage than a UULCC. The revelation struck Pitt like a hammer blow. A liquefied natural gas tanker. One blew up in Japan back in the 40s with nearly the explosive power of the Hiroshima atomic bomb, Max enlightened them. The death toll ran more than 1,000. Did you check to see if any are bound for stateside ports? Asked Yeager. Max acted as if she were pouting. You don't seem to have a high regard for my intuitive talents. Of course I checked all incoming LNG ships. Well, Yeager prompted. The Mongol invader bound from Kuwait is scheduled to dock in New York at 10:30. A.M. or P.M.? Asked Sandecker. A.M. The Admiral checked his watch. We can eliminate her. She would have docked 20 minutes ago. Not so, said Max. She was delayed by problems with her generators and had to heave to until repairs were made. She's running 5 hours late. Pitt and Sandecker exchanged stricken expressions. That has to be Zale's plan, said Pitt. Feint with the Pacific Trojan on the west coast and strike New York from the east with the Mongol invader. Sandecker pounded his fist against a table. He caught us napping like diapered infants. There's not much time to stop her before she reaches the lower bay and heads into the narrows, Max remarked. What does the Mongol invader look like? Yeager asked Max. She revealed an image of the ship on the screen of a large monitor. The vessel looked like something out of a science fiction comic book. The hull had the same lines as an oil tanker, with its engines and superstructure mounted at the stern, but there the resemblance ended. Instead of an expansive, flat main deck, there were 8 identical, mammoth, freestanding, spherical tanks rising out of the hull. Max began to tick off the ship's specifications. The largest LNG tanker yet built. Overall length is 1,860 feet with a 360-foot beam. She carries a crew of only 8 officers and 15 crewmen. The low number is due to the fact that she is almost entirely automated. Her cross-compound, double-reduction-gear turbine engines put out 60,000 shaft horsepower to each of her twin screws. Her country of registry is Argentina. Yeager asked, "Who owns her?" I traced her pedigree through a facade of paper companies that led to the doorstep of the Cerberus Empire. Yeager grinned. Now, why did I think that's who you'd find? LNG tankers have a much shallower draft than oil tankers due to the difference in weight between gas and oil, said Sandecker. She could very well make it up the Hudson River before turning and running toward Lower Manhattan, then slip between the docks without grounding until she struck the shore. Sally Morse said the Pacific Trojan was going to ram the city at the World Trade Terminal, said Yeager. Can we assume that Zale made a slip and meant the World Trade Center in New York? Exactly where I would strike Manhattan's shore if I wanted to do the most damage, Sandecker said in agreement. What gas volume is she carrying? Pitt asked Max. 7,570,333 cubic feet. Very bad, Yeager muttered. And the gas cargo? Propane. Even worse, Yeager moaned. The fireball could be horrendous, explained Max. A railroad tank car exploded in Kingman, Arizona in the 70s. It held 8,000 gallons of propane, and the fireball extended almost an eighth of a mile. 1 gallon of propane will produce 270 of gas, or, figuring 162 cubic feet of propane vapor per cubic foot of liquid, then multiply it by 7.5 million, and you could conceivably produce a fireball almost 2 miles wide. What about structural damage? Sandecker queried Max. Heavy, answered Max. Major buildings such as the World Trade Center skyscrapers would still stand, but their interiors would be gutted. Most of the other buildings close to the center of the blast would be destroyed. I don't even want to speculate on the loss of life. All because that crazy Zale and the Cerberus cartel want to inflame the American public against foreign oil, Pitt muttered angrily. We've got to stop that ship, said Sandecker in a cold tone. There can be no mistakes this time. Pitt said slowly, this ship's crew won't allow it to be boarded like the Pacific Trojan. I'll bet a month's pay Omo Kanai has his Viper group operating the ship. Zale would never trust such an undertaking to amateurs. Sandecker checked his watch again. We have 4.5 hours before she enters the Hudson River off Manhattan. I'll report what we've discovered to Admiral Dover and have him alert his Coast Guard units in the New York area to launch an intercept. You should also call the New York State Anti-Terrorist Division, suggested Max. They train and run practice drills for just such a possibility. Thank you, Max, said Sandecker, warming to Yeager's computer creation. Previously, he'd always thought Max was a strain on Numa's budget, but he had come to realize that she was worth every nickel, and much more. I'll see to it. I'll round up Al. Using Numa's new tilt-wing Aquarius jet, we should be on the Numa dock in New York inside an hour. What do you plan to do after you get there? Inquired a curious Max. Pitt looked at her as if she were asking Dan Marino if he knew how to throw a football. Stop the Mongol invader from destroying half of Manhattan. What else?